Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Duncan, it's the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, and you heard that man right. We are the Fan Morning Show, presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. We go out to the phones, out to the hotline, and we're joined by our friend Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins right now. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Let me say, first of all, I love when you guys tweet out the little lineup, and I feel like I'm batting behind Neil Walker, which I feel like is intentional, so that then you guys got to pitch to Neil Walker when you know the heavy hitters are coming up behind him.
That's exactly what it
Neil
is,
Neil Walker,
yeah.
Said the same thing. He said, I'd like to get out of the way early today because DeFabo has important stuff to talk about, and I'm just some old ball player. So you should feel good about that, right?
Nah, he's more than an old ball player. When I was growing up, I used to love Neil Walker. I still do. He's a great guy.
He is. He's a super guy. But we're here to talk hockey, my man. Jeff Hathorn told us not long ago, i.e. an hour ago, that this new ownership group, will investigate a lot of things. One of them could be general manager and president. Could you hear that they may be on shaky footing, those two gentlemen?
I don't know if they're necessarily on shaky footing, but I think it's worth wondering that. Like, look, if you put $90 down and you're going to run your fantasy football team, you're going to want to make your decisions. Well, they just spent $900 million or about that reportedly to buy this team. And I think that they're going to want the right people to make those decisions. Those right people might continue to be Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, but I think that Fenway Sports Group, they're at least going to consider, you know, who's going to be making the decisions for them and who's going to be running their team.
How do you think a neutral party, whether it's somebody inside Fenway Sports Group, somebody who's already in the Penguins organization, or somebody outside both groups, would evaluate the job Hextall and Burke have done over the last 15 months?
Well, I think that kind of they came into it at a time when Jim Rutherford was wheeling and dealing, and it felt like he was making too many trades, making questionable moves maybe because he knew that they were close to winning a championship, bringing on contracts like Jason Zucker or Kasperi Kapanen, or even when they signed it, acquired it, Mike Matheson's contract was very questionable. Now that has changed a little bit. So I think that they needed somebody at that time to kind of steady the ship, and somebody who was going to take a more laid-back approach, maybe I'll say, or I don't know what the right word is, but just not such an aggressive approach. So it's tough to evaluate Hextall and Burke because they did not make a ton of moves, but the ones that they made, I think, for the most part, I like. I mean, I thought that it was good that they brought in Jeff Carter, but now signing him to the extension, he hasn't been nearly as productive since, and you wonder how that contract will age over time. I thought that bringing in Ricard Raquel was a good trade at a right price. I thought that the signings of Danton Heinen and Brock McGinn were generally value signings. I think I would have liked a little bit more production out of Brock McGinn. So I don't have qualms with any of the moves they made. I guess the question is, did they do enough? But it's going to be interesting. Like, you know, so often in sports, like I said before, when you get a new GM, he's going to want his own head coach and his own quarterback. Now when you get a new owner, is he going to want his own, you know, management team making his decisions?
Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Certainly game 7 of this series will be picked through, as will the whole series. You know what? People will bemoan injuries, and they'll blame this, they'll blame that. They'll find a way to look at Sidney Crosby's injury or the fact that Louis Domingue needed to play a lot. But the Penguins were up 3-1 in this series, Mike. They blew a 2-1 and a 3-2 lead in Game 7. They blew a 2-0 lead after the first in Game 6, and they blew a 2-0 lead they had in the second in Game 5. I think if you find a way to get ahead, you should find a way to close it out. No excuses.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the responsibility falls on the players and the coaches to finish things out. Like, this was a collapse. I've got a buddy who covers the Colts, and he texted me, and he said, congratulations on covering the biggest collapse since I covered the Colts losing to the Jaguars in week 17. And it kind of felt like that. Like, the Penguins had a real opportunity, and game five, they're at Madison Square Garden. The place is silent. They've got a 2-0 lead. And then the game entirely turns, and the series turns when Crosby takes that elbow to the head. So this team had overcome a lot, and they put themselves in position to advance the next round, and then they just were not able to do it. And I guess for me, the thing is, it's not just the postseason that this happened. You know, you look back to December and January, the Penguins put together this ridiculous run. They went 17-2 during that span, and you're thinking, maybe this team does have what it takes to make some noise and be a legitimate contender in the postseason. But down the stretch, they definitely faltered. And the last 6 weeks of the season, you could almost see the warning signs here or the writing on the wall that something like this was coming. So as much as it's disappointing to see the Penguins blow this 3-1 series lead, I think the way that they performed over the last 6 weeks also kind of mirrors that. And maybe it was a little bit of foreshadowing that something like this was coming, that the Penguins weren't able to finish their regular season out, and then they weren't able to close their series out as well.
Well, is it possible to put the onus for that on any one person or group of people in particular, Mike? Because I still firmly believe in Mike Sullivan, but four consecutive first-round exits punctuated by a collapse of this magnitude, it's got my belief wavering just a little bit.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Mike Sullivan. He came in and pushed the right buttons. He won two Stanley Cups. He's largely considered one of the best coaches in the entire league. There's a reason he was going to coach Team USA at the Olympics. There's a reason why perennially he's in the conversation for the Jack Adams Award. All that said, you know, they did fall apart at the end of the regular season, and they did fail to advance out of the first round for the fourth consecutive year, and they did failed to close the series out that they led 3-1 and that they had leads in the three consecutive games. So, you know, as we saw with Barry Trotz getting fired, like NHL, the shelf life of an NHL coach is short. And I think if I were to guess, I think that Fenway Sports Group likes Mike Sullivan. I think that they have respect for what he's done, and I think that he'll be back next year. But the way the NHL works and the way that the Penguins season unfolded, I don't think there's any guarantees.
Tell me why Sullivan and Jarry, but Sullivan in particular, people have no problem commenting on some silly nuances of a helmet falling off and the rules they're in, but nobody will come out and say, our superstar got hit in the head and knocked in the head, and that is stupid and silly, and I have to protect this code. You know, why is that? Why will nobody speak on Sidney Crosby getting hit by Jacob Trouba?
Maybe they just don't want to, I don't know, like look like that's a good question. I don't know what the answer is to that. Like, I guess initially after the hit, after the game five hit to Sidney Crosby, Sullivan was asked, do you feel there was intent behind it? And with the underlying thought being, was there intent to injure him? And he said, did you see the hit? And he said, my opinion is probably the same as yours. So he did kind of get his point across.
But then he said, it's not my job to comment on such matters, it's the league's. But then he called the league, he called the league's rules silly last night over some stupid thing with a helmet. You know, we bemoan all the time and talk about how this league needs to change and protect the superstars. We talk about it more than these players or coaches will ever say anything. Even after game 7 last night, somebody can't come out and say, you know what changed it? When our superstar got his bell rung on a terrible hit. Why can't someone do that?
It's a good question. It's fair. It's a fair question. But I don't know. I don't know why they don't do that, but you're right. I guess they could, but they don't.
Mike DeFabo, Post-Gazette, covers the Pens. He was there at Madison Square Garden last night with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me move forward to the offseason now, Mike. And the questions about management structure aside, from CEO all the way down to GM, what do you think makes the most sense for this organization? I put you in Ron Hextall's office next week, and you get to decide what this team's priorities are this offseason, particularly with the big three of Rust, Rust, Malkin, and Letang. Where do you go first, and what's your priority?
Well, first of all, does this promotion come with a pay raise?
Absolutely, and you get to decorate the office to your liking as well.
Okay, all right. Well, we have a deal on that part. I'll take the job. I think if I'm making the decisions, Chris Letang is the guy that I prioritize because I think he's the most indispensable and the hardest to replace. You know, John Marino, at one point, there was hope that he was going to become a top-pairing righty who could quarterback a power play. Maybe he still can be a top-pairing righty, but I don't know that he's going to be your quarterback of the power play. And you don't have depth at that position on the right side of the blue line. So you're going to have to go out and sign somebody in free agency anyway. Why not sign the guy who at least told me on the record, and I wrote this story, he was quoted in the Post-Gazette saying, you see these guys go and they look for more money or a chance to win another cup with another team, and then they're not happy. So he's like, he basically said in that article that he would be willing to take a little bit of a pay cut or less than market value to stay here. So I would prioritize him. I think Malkin, the whole thing is the price right with him. He won three cups. He's a generational talent and all that, but he's also 35 years old and has had two very significant knee surgeries and looks like he's 35 and has coming off two very significant knee injuries at times this year. He was still a power play wizard. He still has all those offensive instincts, but I don't know that his skating was there that you needed to be at 5-on-5 as a result. And I think throughout the series, he left a little bit to be desired. So, you know, he had the comments as well saying he was joking with reporters saying, I'm a rich guy. And it's funny to talk about that and to say that. It's another thing when you see the actual dollar signs to make the decision that you're going to take less. I think he's willing to take less, but the question is how much less. And I think that one's going to be a really tough one for the Penguins. And then I don't know what I would do with Rust. I think the front office sees it as, you know, that he's not the guy on the billboard and that part of his success is tied to playing alongside star centers like Crosby and Malkin. And if you put a Rickard Rakell next to Sidney Crosby, maybe he could be just as productive. That said, look at, like, if they could clone Brian Rust, it would have solved a lot of their lineup issues. So I think I would prioritize Chris Letang. I would see if Malkin would take a pretty significant pay cut to stay here, and I would look for options. I would consider Brian Rust, but I would also consider some other wingers.
Yeah, what do you do now? Do you get time off? Like, what happens with Mike DeFabo?
Like, right this second? What do I do? I'm about to go get a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Nice. Good stuff. Okay, after that?
After that?
Like, for the next month or so. Like, all this.
Our photographer, well, there's going to be stories. There's
right?
going to be stuff to do. There's going to be locker clean-out day and all that.
Are you thinking engagement anytime soon? I mean, that's where I'm good. I'm going right there.
Whoa, easy now.
Uh-huh. I'm putting you on the spot. Season's over. You got free time.
All of a sudden, DeFabo got
right,
squirrely.
Right, he did. He got tight. I mean, I think it's now time to think about that, and then you plan next year for a wedding.
Oh, my. You guys. I
mean, look, like, you're both going to be in Montreal for the draft.
Did my mom put you up to this?
She did not.
No, no.
She did not.
We're just concerned friends.
Did my mom give you a call? Is that what's going on here?
No, my mom did not call me on her rotary dial phone. So that said, are you thinking about it? I mean, where are you in this process?
I don't think this is something we should be discussing.
Me either, but it makes for great radio.
I mean, there are fewer more romantic places than Montreal in July.
I agree.
Mike,
yes. Well, you could be here in June with the way the Penguins are playing. Mount Washington's great.
There you go.
Well, we could. I don't know. I don't know how to answer these questions right now. I'm not sure that I want to dive into my personal life to that degree on live radio right now.
All right, I'll take that as a yes. All right.
Where are you getting the ring, man?
Yes, Crowley asking where the ring comes from.
You guys are seriously, like, my aunts, they bombard me at Thanksgiving and stuff, and I thought that I was prepared for situations like this with invasive questions, but you guys truly take it to a whole new level. I'm honestly understanding where players come from, where they're like, this media asking you these questions you don't want to answer. Like, it's helping me to truly appreciate things from a different perspective now.
Well, thank you much. All right, Mike, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. And any news, let us know.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Safe travels.
So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.